Jazz pianist and composer Fred Hirsch has been a guest several times on Fresh Air. I was shocked to learn about the medical crisis that he experienced. He's had AIDS since the late 80s and has managed to keep composing, performing, and touring. But in 2008, as a result of complications from AIDS, he suffered temporary psychosis and then fell into a 2-month coma. After emerging from the coma, he had to relearn to use his hands. He's just released his first album since recovering. It's called Whirl. We've been listening to his composition, Snow is Falling. Fred Hirsch, welcome back to the show, and more important, welcome back to the living. I'm just amazed that you were able to build yourself back up to the point where you could make this album. It's remarkable.
Yeah, it's been quite a couple of years of what I might call just simply medical hell. A series of illnesses and hospitalizations, the most dramatic of them being actually in a coma for 2 months, and coming out of a coma for that length of time, you know, you pretty much can't do anything. I couldn't walk. I couldn't eat. I was on a feeding tube for 8 months. I couldn't swallow. I had no hand coordination. I couldn't hold a pencil. So I had to completely rebuild myself, and you know, now I'm back and playing and feeling, if anything, better than I did before all this.
You've had AIDS since the mid-1980s. What set off this latest series of illnesses?
Well, in the fall of 2007, I was quite busy. I was touring a fair amount. I was losing weight. I wasn't eating well. And in December of 2007, I was pulled off of my antiretroviral drugs in order to give my system a break. And unfortunately, what happened was the virus then attacked my brain. So I spent the first 2.5 months of 2008 basically psychotic.
Were you very paranoid during? Was it that kind of psychosis?
Yeah, I was very paranoid. I kind of holed up in my apartment. The only people that I wanted to see was my partner, Scott Morgan, and my brother, Hank. I pretty much cut myself off from the world. I was convinced that people had conspiracies against me, and I was convinced that I had magical powers and could stop time at will, and it was pretty nutty.
When you were going through this really paranoid period, were you afraid of your own family and of your own friends and even of your partner?
No, I wasn't afraid of my partner nor my brother. I thought many of my friends were lying to me. I didn't trust anybody. And it was scary. I mean, I began that period in what they call a semi-coma. I was in a hospital. I was kind of in and out of consciousness for 10 days, but if you would have asked me afterwards how long I'd been in the hospital, I would have said, oh, 2 or 3 days. So I wasn't aware to the extent and the length that I was hospitalized, while they tried to stabilize me not only physically but psychologically.
When did that stop? When did the craziness stop?
The craziness stopped early March of 2008. And then I had sort of a honeymoon period. I was eating. I was gaining weight. I wrote a whole bunch of music. Everything looked good. 2 brand new antiretroviral drugs had come on the market just as I was entering this crazy period. And they reduced my viral load, which is the measure of the viral activity, the AIDS virus in your body. They reduced it from, you know, 6 or 8 million copies to undetectable. So that was a very good sign that I responded so quickly to these drugs, which are new. They were new classes of drugs, in fact, different ways of attacking the virus. So I came out and I felt good and strong, and went out around Memorial Day weekend to Northern California, happened to be the town where my father lives in Healdsburg, which is up in Sonoma County, wine country. And I played a jazz festival there and felt fine and came back to New York in early June and started to feel kind of off and, you know, running little bits of fevers and kind of feeling weird. And but it was nothing that alarming. And then on the 9th of June, I spoke with, it wasn't actually my doctor, but his associate, since my doctor was on vacation. And he gave me an antibiotic, and he said, if this doesn't improve, I'm going to order a chest x-ray for Tuesday. So on Tuesday, I was running fever, and I decided that it might be nice to just get in a bath and cool out. So I got in the bathtub and was unable to get out physically. And Scott and I kind of looked at each other and said, we're going to the hospital. So we got in a cab, went to the hospital, and they checked me for fever. And I wasn't presenting with fever, but then they stuck one of those gizmos on your finger that measures your blood oxygen level. And mine was below 70, which is considered like kind of near death. And they immediately put me in triage and discovered that I was in septic shock and my organs were all failing.
Fred, you said during the period when you seemed to have recovered from your psychotic period because the AIDS virus had gone to your brain, And there was this like little honeymoon period when you seemed to be okay, that you started composing again. Is any of the work that you composed then represented on the new album?
Yes, three pieces, actually. I composed a suite of music for Trio, Piano Bass Drums Trio. And it was a full evening of music, and it was 12 pieces in 12 keys that were dedicated to 12 different people. Whirl is dedicated to the ballerina Suzanne Farrell, and the rhythm of it comes from the rhythm of her spinning and pirouetting. Sad Poet is a dedication to Antonio Carlos Jobim, who I've played his music ever since I started playing jazz. And Still Here is dedicated to Wayne Shorter, who is not only one of my big influences, but he's 75 and still making, you know, interesting and creative and vital music. So I wrote that for him. And those compositions do appear on Whirl.
Whirl, you said, is dedicated to the ballerina Suzanne Farrell. Why were you thinking about her?
Something about the rhythm of the piece. She's from Cincinnati, as I am. I saw her dance many times, and there's something about a rhythm when, you know, a dancer spins, and of course they can't just keep spinning. They sort of have to spot at a certain point, or they'll get dizzy or fall over. So the rhythm is kind of taken from the spinning and spotting of Suzanne, and I think she's, you know, just the most deep and graceful and classically beautiful dancers that I've ever seen. Just really magnificent. She's a magnificent artist.
Well, why don't we hear Whirl? So this is composed and performed at the piano by Fred Hirsch. It's the title track from his new CD, Whirl. That's the title track of pianist and composer Fred Hirsch's new CD, Whirl. We'll talk more with Hirsch after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Fred Hirsch, the pianist and composer. He has a new CD called Whirl, featuring the Fred Hirsch Trio. And we're talking about the 2 years in which he was very sick. He's had AIDS since the mid-1980s, but he this was just a particularly horrible period these past 2 years that included a two-month coma. So let me ask you, after emerging from the coma, you spent quite a while where you were helpless. You couldn't move. You had lost one of your vocal cords because of the tube that was placed down your throat when you were admitted into the hospital. You couldn't eat. You could barely speak. Just a hoarse whisper was all you could get out. You had to have surgery to get your other vocal cord work. Another vocal cord. I don't know how many we have.
We have two.
We only have two? Okay, so you needed surgery to get the other one working again. So you had a feeding tube for months. Going through all that, what gives you the drive to keep pushing forward and keep living? I mean, it can seem like a really bleak and hopeless existence, I would guess.
Well, around the time that I found out that I had AIDS in the mid-80s, that was when I first began making my own albums we called them then. And for a number of times through the early 90s, until better drugs, protease inhibitor drugs, what they now call cocktail medications, came along, you know, AIDS was, you know, there wasn't anything anybody could do about it. It was just luck of the draw if you were going to live or not. So I certainly felt during that period that every CD or album I was making was going to be my last. And my motivation then was that, God forbid I should die, I'd like to at least create some body of work where somebody might, you know, remember me. I wanted to be heard. And certainly since the coma, and this is not just my opinion, I'm reflecting opinions of others because it's very hard to talk about one's work in general. I find it hard. There seems to be more relaxation, maybe more depth, more direct connection to what I'm playing. Fortunately, my technique has come back virtually completely at the piano. But I realized, you know, when I was that far down, that I really wasn't done yet. There was more that I had to do as a musician, as a partner. And whether it was just stubbornness or crankiness or whatever, I felt like I'm not ready to check out.
At what point did music start becoming beautiful to you again? Were you able to listen to it right away after emerging from the coma?
When I was in the rehab center, I had a CD player and a little portable DVD player. I could watch a movie. And I did begin listening again. I found it very therapeutic. I didn't have enough energy to read. That took too much energy at that point. But I emerged from the coma in early August, went home shortly after Labor Day of 2008, and then I was knocked down with another pneumonia, which was probably caused by a gallbladder infection. I began vomiting blood. I actually lost 4 units of blood and was readmitted to ICU for, thank God, it turned around in about 4 or 5 days. But I got out of the hospital on a Saturday in early October, I believe it was the 11th, and there's a small jazz club here in New York called Smalls, and I was just looking around on the web. That day I got out of the hospital, I had tons of energy. It was a classically beautiful fall day in New York, and Scott and I walked all the way through the village, and it just felt great to be back in the world, and probably I was just pumped up with saline or something and feeling good. But I went online later that afternoon and looked at the Smalls website, and I noticed that 2 days after that, the Monday night, it said, for the 7:30 set, it said, pianist TBD, to be determined. So I called up the owner and I said, look, I know I just got out of the hospital, but if I can pull a trio together, I would really like to come and play a set. So Scott, who'd been napping, woke up and I said, you know, you're not going to believe this, but I booked a gig for 2 days from now. And, you know, he was nervous and thought I was maybe a little nuts. But I went down and I played a set with a bass player and drummer who I'm very friendly with. And it was something that I really needed to do to prove to myself that this all had not taken away everything. I listened to the recording subsequently, and sure, it sounds, you know, a little weak and, you know, not my A-game playing, but it wasn't bad either. And I think just doing that, and also the place was packed and everybody was there. I mean, there was just this incredible feeling of love. And the jazz community, you know, such as it is, was incredibly solicitous while I was ill. When I went home, people came to visit. People visited me in rehab. People were in touch with Scott. They really wanted to know how I was doing. And so the room was packed with people who really wanted to be there. And this incredible, just big embrace from the jazz community. I think after I did that, I realized that, okay, there's hope here that I'm going to be able to do this. And so I started gigging again in the fall of 2008, you know, and of course I was still on a feeding tube, so traveling with cans of liquid food and a food pump was not the easiest thing in the world.
I can't believe you did that.
But I was determined, you know, and I never quit.
Well, Fred Hirsch, thank you again for being with us, and I'm just so happy to hear how well you've done after your period of health hell, medical hell, as you put it. So thank you again, and all best to you.
Thank you, and I'm really feeling like I'm continuing to move forward and continuing to challenge myself, and that feels really good to me. So thank you very much.
Pianist and composer Fred Hirsch's new album is called Whirl. You can hear three tracks from the album on our website, freshair.npr.org, where you can also download podcasts of our show.